gathering on Wednesday night at Baylor, and it was called BRH, Baptist Religious Hour. Now, I didn't go to that, but me and my friends went to another BRH out on the highway called Buddy's Roadhouse. And the first years of our marriage did not go well at all because, as Judy mentioned, I was a deceiver and not a believer. And to marry Judy, I had to promise her father that I'd be the spiritual leader in the home and that I would take her to church. Well, that promise was very short-lived. My number one priority in my life was not God, and it wasn't even Judy. It was totally me. I was obsessed with myself, my career, and getting my way. And to make things even more unpleasant for Judy, my fits of anger and rage were the source of many conflicts in the early days of our marriage. Like the time that I was dozing in front of the TV, and Judy asked me to open a jar of pimentos, and she woke me up, and being angered by that fact, and also the fact that I wasn't strong enough to get the jar of pimentos open, I just threw it against the wall, and with glass and pimentos everywhere, I said, "There you go, now they're open." Well, that is not the best way to open a glass jar or build a lasting relationship. And I am quite sure that we would have been divorced many years ago had I not come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ 7 years into our marriage. In 1970, I was reading a little booklet called The Four Spiritual Laws that a friend had given me, and I was convicted of my sin and my need for a Savior. And sitting in the car in a parking lot, I just prayed and asked Jesus to come and forgive me and come into my life and make me the man that he wanted me to be. My decision to follow Jesus Christ not only saved my soul, but it also saved my marriage. Judy and I were now headed in the same spiritual direction, and we could start building our marriage on the strong foundation of Jesus Christ. Each couple of you has a copy of the little booklet. The Four Spiritual Laws is now retitled Connecting with God. And we want to ask you tonight when you get home to read that together and ask the question, are you both headed in the same spiritual direction? And if not, our prayer, we've been praying all week and praying today, is that you would seriously consider the claims of Jesus Christ.
So God desires us to have oneness in our marriage. The Latin for the word intimacy means inner. So it's allowing someone to know the inner you. And someone's used the play on words that intimacy is simply in, to, me, see. And any intimacy relationship requires pursuit. You don't drift into intimacy. You drift into isolation. And girls, even with a husband who's the spiritual leader in your home, your sufficiency is still going to need to be in Christ, because even the best leader will not meet all of your expectations. As wives, our confidence and trust needs to be in the Lord, and we need to remind ourselves of who He is so that we rest in Him to work in our husbands' lives. And we need to keep in mind, nowhere are we called to be His Holy Spirit.
So let's look at the one thing that we feel in our marriage has worked wonders in our spiritual intimacy, and that is praying together. You know, once you come to know God, then you need to go to God in prayer, because when we're talking to God, we're talking to the creator of the universe, the one that holds the universe together, and He is the one that also holds our marriages together. Colossians 1:17 said, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." And the great thing about God is He's available 24 hours a day. He's always there to talk to. John 5:17, Jesus said, "My Father is always working, and so am I." Many years ago, we were at a mission conference, and a pastor from India stood up, and he said, "When man works, man works." When man prays, God works. And then he sat down. And those verses and that statement have greatly affected our prayer life. You know, why not go to the one who is all-powerful and always working? And all we have to do is just ask him, you know, God help us. And three scriptures that have been motivating to our prayer life, and these are foundational verses for our prayer life, are Colossians 4:2, be devoted to prayer, and Philippians 4:6, pray about everything, and 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray all the time.
Now, there's lots of different kinds of prayer. There's praise, thanksgiving, worship, rejoicing, repentance, personal needs, intercession for others, salvation for others, ministries, and more than even my list. But just think for a moment of participating with each other in all of these areas of prayer and the kind of intimacy you could have with each other and with God. Now, if you have not prayed together as a couple, getting started is the hardest part. Can you say awkward? I suggest if you're in the beginning stage of praying together to use a devotion book to jumpstart the process. And this is a very good one. It's called Two Hearts Praying as One. It's by Dennis and Barbara Rainey. It gives you 30 days of things to pray together. And you start out just reading them. Then you start just answering questions. And then eventually you write your own prayers. But 30 days will really help you start to form a habit. Now, there's many formats for praying together. The format that works best for us is walking. It's a multitask that the two of us can still do. We can walk and talk at the same time. And so it gives us exercise together rather than just sitting and kind of staring at each other to pray. And when we walk, James prays for what is on his heart, and I listen. I don't give him advice. I don't criticize him. And I don't say, oh, I can fix that for you. I listen. And then I pray, and he listens. And he doesn't criticize me or try to fix it. And we just become very aware of each other's heart. Some mornings, we walk, and we never speak directly to each other. But we come back to the house with deep communication from listening to each other safely, expose their hearts and desires and thoughts for the day. So we began a long time ago walking and praying. We did that even when our children were very young. We just would walk three or four houses away from our house, walk back down, walk three or four houses down that way, turn around and come back. When James had heart surgery, we just walked around the house and prayed because he couldn't get out. And one thing that we really found was very helpful in praying together was to have a plan for praying. And so what we did in those early days, we set this plan that on Monday, we would pray for our immediate family. On Tuesday, we would pray for our community group. On Wednesday, we would pray for the church, the staff, the elders, and the ministries going on there. On Thursday, we would pray for the lost, like our top 10 list, our neighbors that we knew didn't know Christ. And if our kids, whatever activities they were involved in, we would just put the team members or the activity members on our prayer list, and we would pray for them on that Thursday. Friday, we each prayed, since we have four kids, there were six of us, we each had a continent. So on Friday, we prayed for our continents. That's turned out to be such a blessing in our kids' lives because today they are still very interested in the continent that they were praying for, and they take special interest in what is going on there spiritually. And then on Saturday, we would pray for each other, and on Sunday, we really tried to just praise and be grateful. So as you go along, you'll develop the best format for praying together. Now, we've used a lot of patterns for praying. Now, we want to say a word of caution to you here. Don't try to walk out and emulate everything that we do, because just remember, it's like a dump truck here because we've been married 55 years. So just tonight, just think of one or two things out of what we've talked about that the two of you could together agree you might want to implement.
And one of the things we'd encourage you to do is pray scripture, because when you're praying scripture, you know you're praying God's will. For example, just 1 Timothy 1:5, Father, help Judy and I to have a love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience and a sincere faith. Or Romans 12:12, Father, help us to be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, and constant in prayer. And another thing that we did is we had prayed scripture on trips. When we go on a trip, we'll take a book of the Bible, and we love to go to the beach, so we'll walk and pray at the beach. And, you know, you can either print out a sheet of a chapter of one of the books, or you can get your iPhone and pull it up. And we'd walk on the prayer on the beach a number of times a day, praying for our marriage and also praying for our kids and our family. Another thing we've done is we use Bibles as journals for prayers. Several years ago on the journey, when we went through the entire Bible the last time, we took and wrote out a prayer for our marriage and our children for each chapter of the Bible. And, you know, the kids may never look at it, but just thinking that they might, it might be something special for them. So, but it's special because we prayed that to God and God heard it. So.
And then as a wife, one of the things I've prayed for James is the qualities that God lists for a mature man in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Now, if I ask each of you wives who are present tonight, if you could write down 10 things you would like to change in your husband, you would be able to do it really quickly. So do that. Put down 10 things you would like to change in him. And then put those 10 things away in an envelope and say, Lord, I'm going to commit those to you, and I'm going to pray for the things you want for him that are in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And I would also pray, as I was praying those for him, I would pray, Lord, what do you need to change in me? How am I hindering your work in him in this particular quality? And ask God to just change me so he'd be free to work. Now, another tool we've used in our marriage to pray is 5-second prayers, where we would just stop. We kept them on the refrigerator, and you have a sheet of them there. We would keep them on, with a magnet on the refrigerator, and before James would go out the door to work, he would stop. We would pray a 5-second prayer. And those little 5-second prayers kind of became something that stayed with us throughout the day that we could focus on, meditate on, and share with one another about in the evening. There's so much chatter in reality right now and the digital world that sometimes it's very refreshing just to realize you can communicate something very significant with God in 5 seconds. It just helps you to want to pray more when you realize that it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. So God is always there to hear us because he's always working. And we just gave you a copy of some of those 5-second prayers, and you can make up more on your own. Some of my favorites we've prayed are, change us, Lord. Lord, help us encourage each other in faith today. God, remind us today that we are your prized possessions. And one of my very favorites is, God, grant us wisdom today to see life through your eyes. So God wants us to keep an attitude of prayer at all times, and it really is like breathing. And we found that 5-second prayers really helped us, especially in those days when our kids were little and there was really no time to have just an extended time to pray. Those 5-second prayers were very precious.
Another concept we instituted early on in our prayer life was to pray without delay or praying on the spot. And this was a habit we started many years ago, and it continues today. We pray for each other throughout the day, over the telephone or by text or by email. We pray while we're driving in the car. When anything comes up or anything we want to thank God for, we contact each other to just thank God for it or ask God for his help about it. And, you know, that's a habit that have even developed of when somebody asks us to pray, we just say, let us pray for you right now. Because the thing is, if we walk away, you know, my experience is I'll probably forget about it. So, you know, we'd encourage you to form a habit to pray without delay with your spouse. And guys, you know, you need to be the spiritual leaders in doing this.
So let's talk about how praying together has increased our intimacy. As the joy of our relationship and the intimacy with the Lord has increased, it really does open the door to joy and intimacy with our relationship with each other. Because praying together removes a whole lot of physical roadblocks. Because we can honestly share ourselves, both spiritually and emotionally, in a safe way. And that makes us more reliant on the Lord and less reliant on us trying to have to control each other or to be anxious and fret. And one thing I just always ask if you say, I don't have enough time to pray, I just would ask, do you have time to worry? And what you can do is just switch from the worry to praying right at that moment. So one thing that we do when we pray for each other is we thank God for specific character traits of each other. And that is something that is really encouraging to me, to hear James thank God for some specific quality of me that he's grateful for. And likewise, it's encouraging to him when I'm thankful for qualities and character in him. Sometimes we just take a passage of scripture like the 23rd Psalm and we change all the pronouns to first person plural so that, like Psalms 23, we would pray, the Lord is our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Just doing that just reinforces to us that we are one and that we are together in oneness for this journey. And it just keeps us from seeing each other on a separate trail, that I'm doing my thing and he's doing his things. Now, one thing James has been very good about is to once a year plan specifically that the two of us get away together as a couple. Now, when our kids were growing up, because it was so complicated for babysitters, we just went one night to a hotel. Just were gone basically 24 hours. Now we can be go a little bit farther. But those have become very special times for us to focus on each other and to rest, to be refreshed, and just to go on lots of good walks where we can have extended time to pray. So ask God to help you have some getaways for intimacy and prayer. So these are just some of the reasons that we would say that in our 55 years of marriage, praying together is one thing that has greatly impacted our spiritual intimacy as a couple with each other and with the Lord.
In conclusion, we want you to walk away with just realizing that to really be built or have a marriage built on a strong foundation, you need to be headed in the same direction. And that direction needs to be a marriage that where both of you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's the starting point. And then when you've got that, it's just going to God in prayer and just asking him to help you for every situation that arises, because nothing is too big or too small to talk to God about. And I think one of the things we'd encourage you to do, too, is pray big about your marriage, because we do not worship a small God. He is bigger than all of our marriage struggles, and as we mentioned in Colossians 1:17, he's before all things and he holds all things together. He is the one that has held our marriage together for 55 years. Many years ago, I had an old Volkswagen and it had over 150,000 miles on it. And I used to pray this verse every morning as I backed out the driveway, God, hold my Volkswagen together. And one day when I was on my way to work, a wheel came off on the freeway. And I determined that it was time to get a new car. And, you know, wheels come off in marriages, too. And the world's way would say you get rid of your spouse and get a new one. But God's way is to honor the covenant you made when you were married and work through your difficulties and struggles with the help of God and with the help of the body of Christ. And we just so thank you that you guys are here doing that tonight. And it just starts by humbly asking God to help your marriage, to heal your marriage, to change me, to make our marriage better, and he will answer you. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you for everyone in this room. And Lord, we pray that everyone in this room would be headed in the same spiritual direction. They'd be building their lives upon the strong foundation of Jesus Christ, that they would realize that there is no problem, no struggle, no anything that you can't do, because everything is possible with you. God, we just pray that tonight would be an encouragement to each person as they meet in their small groups. And Lord, we just pray that you would shower them with your love and your blessings, and you would let their marriages grow, their oneness grow with each other, and their oneness grow with you. And Father, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.